Welcome everybody to the Tagcast. This is Optimus, the co-host with Mr. Fenrir 765. Mr. Fen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here. I can't wait to talk about what's going on. It's been, I'm just happy that we get to do this every couple weeks, man. It's just a good time. We get to talk about things. And now we're doing the show live on our Discord at theadultgamer.com. So if you're an adult, you like video games, and you want to just hang out with some pretty cool peoples and Ubo, come to theadultgamer.com and join
I'm
our
really
Discord.
enjoying this. Yeah, I'm really enjoying our live podcast recording. I think it's going much better.
Yeah, I mean it adds a little spice. We have to be on it, ready to go, right? And see what we can do. And then the cool thing is, like, as the show goes on, if somebody, really has something that they want to say, they can make note of it in the podcast
Hop right
channel.
in.
And then if it's something like they got a really cool idea, we can even bring them up on the stage and chat along with us for a little bit, and then we can boot them back down to the audience. It's a great time. But yeah, we are the adultgamer.com community podcast called the Tagcast, and we're here to talk about video games and talk about, just what we're doing. So, Hop, I'm gonna just jump right in. Like, what have you been playing lately?
Let's see. I'm still working on slowly working through the season pass on Black Ops Cold War. That's about to get more exciting. We'll get into that in a minute. Still playing Borderlands 3. I'm still having lots of fun with that game. I got my Zane, so my fourth character up to 65. Now I'm just farming some gear. Fallen and I, with our Zanes, did the Malawan takedown. We just wrecked it. So, and that's not even optimized yet. So I'm pretty excited about what I can do with this character. I'm also looking for some people to do the Guardian takedown raid. So anybody who wants to join up and do that, that's the harder raid with the jump puzzles. It's a little bit more like a Destiny raid. And then I also still need to kill off the Varkid boss. So I need some help on Borderlands 3 people. I need some people that are serious about playing Mayhem 10, 11 with level 65 characters optimized for tough stuff. Working my way slowly through Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain. I love the game. I love the gameplay, but it's a huge game. Like, I finished the first big story missions. Like, it's like every five or six big story missions, there's kind of like a cinema and a boss, mini boss battle thing, and then you go back to your base and you're kind of like starting all over again. So, at that point, I took a little break. Everybody's been talking about Resident Evil 8 Village. It looks awesome. I don't have it yet. I remembered that Resident Evil 7 was on Game Pass. I was like, dude, I haven't even played this. I haven't touched Resident Evil since, I think, 4. I think I played the demo of 5 and I was like, oh, to me, it wasn't Resident Evil. It was too action packed. It was more like Gears of Evil or something. It just didn't feel right. Everybody said Resident Evil 7 was really good. And it is really good, but it's also fucking scary. I have not been this freaked out by a video game ever. I have to play it in the daytime with the sun is out. Today I literally had a moment. I literally jumped out of my fucking chair. It scared the fuck out of me, man. I was like, what the fuck? Oh man,
Could
yeah, it's
you
good. It's
would
really
you
good though.
play it in VR though? Like
Fuck no. You couldn't pay me to play it in VR. No. Hell no. Dude, it's scary enough as it is.
Oh man, like
Nope.
I've heard plenty of stories about people playing it in VR and just.
Oh hell no. No way. Dude, it would be creepy if you were playing it in VR and if somebody that knew the game like touched you when you were playing, you would probably literally shit your pants. That would be it. Oh no. No.
Oh man, well, I will say I haven't touched a Resident Evil game since like I can't remember which one it was, four or five, but I
Four was
did.
like the last really great one. It came out on GameCube and they ported it to
So it must have been five. Five was the co-op one, right?
Yeah, it was
Okay.
very action oriented. And the thing about like seven, they went back to the roots of like the first two games where there's a lot more mystery, there's a lot less bullets and ammunition. It's way less on the action, far more scarier. I would say seven is the scariest one I've ever played. I mean, it makes one and two look pretty pansy by comparison.
All right. Well, I may try 7. I may see what I can do with it, but right now I'm really hooked into Remnant from Ashes.
So are you playing that with the, you got the gang on there, Warlock and
Yeah,
Romano?
yeah. Warlock and I got some co-op going the other night, and we've just been we played for like 4 hours. It was awesome. We had a good time, and then Romano joined us a little bit last night, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's like Dark Souls meet with guns and easy, seamless co-op that is a lot of fun. The only big gripe I have is the progression doesn't like of the story doesn't transfer between like which world you joins. Like I've been playing in Warlock's game, and
I
we
hate
got
games that do
pretty
that.
far, and then when I went back to my game, I
Yeah.
was like back at square one.
Bum,
So
bum, bum.
yeah, I mean that's a little bit of a bummer, but I think Warlock and I have a little bond going on. We're maybe hanging out with it together and trying
I knew he was fucking two-timing me. I fucking knew it.
to he's got a he's got you on fight nights on Fridays. He's got me for some Remnant right now. So I've been doing that, still trying to get through some Hollow Knight. I don't know what's up with me lately. I just want to play punishing games that are just pretty hard. And then I dabbled with some Apex Legends again recently with Cowboy Raptor and Vader and
There's a
some other
bunch of
people.
taggers that play that, like What It Do and Captain Crunch. They still play that all the time. Maynard plays it. I know Willow and Fallen have been messing around with it, but I think those two got stolen away by Destiny 2 again.
You mean Tony has infected them
Yeah,
with it?
has
Yeah.
infiltrated them.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's it's just kind of like I'm in this weird holding pattern, and I'm gonna get off topic here for a second, because like for months, guys, we talked about Mass Effect and the Legendary Edition coming out, and I was so excited to get it, and then something just like hit me about a week before release, and I was like, I don't want to play it, and I couldn't figure out what it was, like why I didn't want to get it. I didn't, what it about it was, and then I heard somebody on another podcast I was listening to say like they didn't want to ruin the nostalgia that they had built up with that game over the years. Like going back to it in a remastered version or replaying it again may like change their view of the game. And I think that's kind of where I'm like sitting at right now. I'm like, I don't want to ruin the way I view it. Not that it's still not a great game. It's just, it's a remaster. It's not a remake. It's, it's a, it's still pretty clunky in some ways, and obviously the controls are dated. So I don't know if like I would, if that would ruin the game for me, and I would not look at it in the same light. Does any of that make sense to you, Hop?
I could see that, especially if you really, really loved them. There's been, I think if there was a remake that just didn't. Yeah, so on the 360 there was a Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo remake called Hyper Street Fighter 2 Anniversary Edition, and where they were quote unquote updating the graphics and whatnot, and that sucked. It didn't capture that same spirit as the original, so I can sort of see what you mean. I kind of want to play it, but I don't want to pay full price to play it. And like you, I'm like one now. You've got me thinking. I'm like, do I really want? Because I love two, man. I've
Oh,
freaking
two is
Mass
my
Effect two.
game of my decade.
Oh my God, I love
Yeah.
that game. And I was not. I wasn't drawn to Mass Effect originally when they first dropped it. I know a lot of you guys were like, "Oh my God, oh my God." When I saw the first game, I was like, "Eh," I kind of ignored it, but it was my buddy Captain Crap Maximus. He mailed me Mass Effect 1 and 2 in the mail, said, "You have to play these games." And he's like, and then buy 3. I was like, "Okay." And I played 1 and I didn't like 1 that much. It was clunky, it was slow. I was like, "Man, this game is like," and the elevator loading scenes, holy shit, dude. But I suffered through it because Captain was my friend. And then I played the second one and instantly I couldn't put that one down. I played that one, I loved it. And then I picked up 3 right away. And I enjoyed 3. I probably played almost more of the Mass Effect 3 co-op horde mode than I played the campaign. I beat the game, but I played a ton of the horde mode.
Yeah.
Ton. like tons of it. I loved it. That's another reason why the remaster's slightly not as appealing, is because the horde mode's not in there. Although we'll get to that. There's a new story where we could get it, possibly.
Yes, a tease for later in the show, like in 10 minutes. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And I mean, there's a lot of games coming out we talked about last week. Biomutant, Knockout City, some games I'm looking forward to that are coming here in the next week. And so maybe I'm just in a holding pattern. We'll see what happens. I'm just not in a rush right now. I'm enjoying, my time with Remnant and Warlock and Bromano. Shout out to those guys for hanging out with me for a few hours and killing some plants. So, but Hop, I mean, a game we do love, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Some big news or
Yeah,
announcements.
they dropped the trailer. There was lots of leaks the past couple weeks and hints at what was going to happen, and we're at the season three halfway point, so we've got about another 4 weeks in the season, and they always do a big content drop. And what we're getting is an 80s action heroes theme. They've got Rambo, John Rambo himself, even voiced by Stallone. It may even be lines directly from the movies as an operator. He's got his own pack. John McClane, who they only show like a part of him crawling in the shafts in the trailer. They actually don't show a picture of him on the reveal thing yet. Maybe that'll show up tomorrow. That patch goes live tonight on Cold War, tomorrow night on Warzone. A bunch of cool stuff added to Warzone. Nakatomi Plaza's added. There's a bunch of First Blood Part 2, like survival camps areas. There's going to be specific missions to do in Warzone. And then in Black Ops Cold War, there's going to be two new game modes based on those movies. There's John Rambo's Gun Game, which is like Gun Game on steroids. It includes like the grenade launcher, rocket launchers, combat bow, the death machine. It's all in the Rambo Gun Game. And they're also adding a Die Hard point, where it's hard point with limited respawns, I think. And they're also adding the mode that you and I have been waiting for this week on Cold War, and that's the Fire Team Elimination, which is basically a classic battle royale on the Fire Team maps, 10 squads of 4 players each, 40 total players, no loadouts, and you got to find your weapons and survive the radiation
Thank
waves.
God.
I am so excited to check that out. I hope it's good. I really do. And if it is, that's probably all I'll be playing.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how those action hero packs are. I saw the preview of the John Rambo pack, and I like him, but I don't really care for the weapons in his pack. You get a survival knife, that's cool, but then you get an AK. I've got like, I don't know about you, but I already have like 5 AK blueprints in Cold War, and then you get an M60 blueprint. And I know those are, I mean, he uses both of those weapons in that movie, but I don't use LMGs, and I don't dislike the AK, but it's not my favorite weapon to use in the game. So we'll see how many points it is before I pull the trigger on it. But anyway, yeah, I'm pretty excited to check that out. I put the trailer and the patch notes in the Discord under the competitive gaming channel if anybody wants to check that out. But we got a bunch of cool games. There's some crazy game news going on.
Yeah, it's only going to get crazier. I mean, we're getting closer to June, which we all know that means E3 and a ton of game announcements. But one of the big things I saw recently that really isn't surprising, but it seems to create a lot of what's the word? Frustration for some people, but elation for others. And that's supposedly Starfield is going to be exclusive to Xbox and PC. Jeff Grubb, a big game insider, pretty much flat out said it in a tweet, like it's going to be exclusive, period. There's been a lot of like PlayStation fans and community trying to rationalize their way to Starfield from Bethesda not being exclusive. But it at least at this time it seems like it's going to be exclusive. I mean, as everybody keeps saying, you don't spend $7.5 billion to just make a game multi-plat, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, from the beginning, I knew that was going to happen. I mean, they their whole their contractually obligated to do the deals they already had. There was already was that other game that's supposed to come to PlayStation or wherever.
Deathloop and Ghostwire
Yeah,
Tokyo.
but everything else, I guarantee, is gonna be PC and Xbox only. Because it, why else would you put it on anything?
Well,
At least for a limited time. I could see them
yeah.
doing PC and Xbox for 6 months to a year and then releasing it later on other
Well,
platforms. I
new
think it.
IPs I can see being completely exclusive. I kind of hope Fallout and
Dude,
Elder
no.
Scrolls.
Nope. Hell no. Are you kidding me? People are going to be waiting years for Elder Scrolls 6. Of course, they're going to lock PlayStation out because they want people to buy into the
Okay. I mean,
ecosystem.
I get it. I get it. I'm not, I get the business side. I just saying, like, like as a give and take, kind of like
Hey
as a
man,
friendly, like,
I
hey.
can't play fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know, but that's something completely different. I don't know. Like,
Is it?
God. I mean, kind of. I mean, Spider-Man like was on the 360, I guess,
What I'm
many, many
saying.
moons ago. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I
Saying
just.
that's the unfortunate part about this business with exclusives, and it's on all the
Yeah.
sides. Nintendo's got their exclusives,
Oh yeah.
Sony has their exclusives, Microsoft now has exclusives that people are crying about. Oh no, Mimi, why are you doing that to me? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're in a stage where, it's just, I don't know, like I would like to see a way that there could be still some kind of, maybe like you said, like a year later, maybe Elder Scrolls 6 will come out, or maybe whatever on other platforms. But whatever. Like, I'm not too worried about it because I'm an Xbox gamer, so I'm gonna be okay with this in the end. So we'll talk more about this in the future, I'm pretty sure, as time moves
Right,
on.
so you mean.
This one, I'm trying to wrap my head around this, but apparently Sony has filed a patent so you can do like in-game betting on like fighting tournaments like Evo or like esports and things. Not only could you use real money, but you could use Bitcoin and also in-game items. Again, it's just a patent, may not mean anything. It may never come to fruition, but I thought that was really interesting that they're trying to get into the, like the prop bets that is becoming hugely popular in sports betting. So, but they're just applying it to in-game. So like you can be watching a Street Fighter V tournament at Evo and you're like, "Hey, I wanna bet on this guy beating this guy or this guy having a flawless victory or not or whatever, And you can throw in your rare Halo themed t-shirt. Now I'm crossing things, but whatever. You get my point. Like you don't really have to bet legit money in a way. So, or Bitcoin, which still I don't understand if that is legit money or not.
Yeah.
That's not for me. Also, Amazon, they're trying to get in the video game world. I read this article from IGN that they said that apparently they're going to have cosmetic features or cosmetics that will be launched that you can buy, but they will only be available at the launch time. Like once you buy them, you keep them, but after a short period of time, they will disappear and nobody will be able to access them again. I thought that was pretty interesting, but I think it's also a pretty big way to cash grab, if you will. People are obviously going to pay things because rarity or scarcity or timed exclusiveness. I gotta have something that may not be there in a virtual world 6 months from now to forever. So I think that the only reason I picked that story up is it may be the start of a new trend. Could you see that happening like in Call of Duty Hop or
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
so. There's that. We alluded to this earlier. Mass Effect 3 multiplayer
Right. This is pretty awesome.
may still be coming, depending on demand, I guess.
Player demand. Yeah, I guess if you hit up their Twitter,
Yes. So if
BioWare or EA's Twitter, or did they specify, is it a specific
They didn't really say anything specifically. They just kind of said, like, if the demand's there. And I'm like, well, I guess I need to create a Twitter account and just tweet the head to, you know, the director of this game and just tweet him every day saying, hey, make that Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Now, that would be something that may that would put me over the edge for sure to go back into Mass Effect. So I will go back. I know I will. I just can't avoid it. Maybe I'm just in this, like, quasi, like, oh, maybe I will, maybe I won't kind of thing. I don't know. I will go back. Won't I? Will I? What do you think?
I don't know. Will you?
I don't know. Anyways, Destiny 2.
More multiplayer news.
Yeah, more multiplayer news. Destiny 2 apparently accidentally switched on the crossplay.
Accidentally turned on the crossplay, which, from what I understand, there's no option to actually turn it off. Like, there's just crossplay between PC, Xbox, and PlayStation now.
Yeah, they said like there was a lot of things that weren't working with it, but from what I understand, I mean, they said they were going to take it off. I haven't read any updates, but if it actually turned off or not. But it was just kind of one of those things that just started happening, apparently, and people were really excited about it. I think Ubo was trying to play around with it. I don't know if he was successful with it or not, but it would be interesting to see what happens. Because I know that's been something that people have been clamoring for...
That would be, I mean, that honestly, that's one thing that could draw me back, only because then I could play with some of the Destiny 2 people on tag that are only on PlayStation or PC.
Yeah. I mean,
that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it would be cool. But they've been talking about it for a year almost now, right? Mm-hmm. So, Battlefield 6, apparently, it's definitely coming. There's a lot of hype behind it. EA is building it up. I mean, it's
they've got every studio they own except for BioWare working on it.
Pretty much. They're pretty excited about it. They're talking a lot about, you know, in broad strokes about the game. But apparently it's big enough to get its own reveal event outside of E3. So I was kind of shocked by that. I really thought that Battlefield 6 may be like the big headline at EA's kind of press conference or whatever, but you know, I guess they're getting, maybe they'll get a tease there and then there's their own like shindig later on in June. But sometime in June, we're going to get more details about Battlefield 6, like the official reveal. So that's pretty interesting. I'm kind of excited for it. I don't know if I'll get it right away, but I will be keeping a keen eye on that. A game that has been beloved by UHOP for many, many years is upgrading engines. They're going to Unreal Engine 5 at the Coalition.
Yeah, that's going to be a looker, man.
I mean, they've already done a great job on 5, on 4.
Unreal 5 engine has so many new features that are just really, really impressive. And it'll be nice to see what Gear 6 can do on the various platforms on PC, Series X, and PS5. Or, well, not PS5. PC and C. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
PC and Series X. Yeah, that'll be cool. I mean, the Coalition, they're really tight with the Epic's software development team. I mean, Gears was originally an Epic Games thing. So, and the...
it was like one of the first games to really show off Unreal on the consoles, right?
On the console, yeah. Yep. So that's awesome. But I wonder if Borderlands 4 will go to the Unreal 5 engine.
Well, interesting you say that because Take-Two, you know, publisher of Borderlands, apparently they plan on releasing 21 games through the rest of this fiscal year, so March of 2022.
I don't think Borderlands 4... Oh, well, maybe by then. Wow.
But apparently... Gearbox is one of these studios that is doing something. It's a new franchise, supposedly. But I find that interesting because Gearbox is a publisher in its own. And I feel like the only thing that Gearbox does that Take-Two publishes is Borderlands. Am I correct?
I would have to
research that.
Double check that, yeah.
So, because, I mean, Gearbox has been publishing a lot of things lately for smaller developers in a lot of ways. But
right.
But I knew that Take-Two owns the publishing rights to Borderlands. I don't think they
Yeah, it
own the
says
IP, but
a new Gearbox title's coming out by them.
yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens because there is rumors that there's. I mean, I
A new
guess
title.
there's been new
It just says a
rumors.
new title.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
And impossible. This rumor story here says it could be a Borderlands spin-off game, but who
Yeah.
knows? I guess we'll just have to wait and see what that is. Interesting.
Maybe we'll
All
finally
right.
get more info on Tales from the Borderlands, like something along that story arc, because
Yeah.
that would be awesome. But yeah, I mean that's kind of what I've been keeping eyes on, and I mean there's plenty of other stories out there that we could talk about,
Yeah.
but
Well, the one I found interesting today is eBay is now locking down or banning the sale of any adult-only or X-rated items. That includes video games, anime, obviously adult films. But there's a bunch of classic PC games that fall into this. Leisure Suit Larry, you're not going to be able to sell that anymore. A lot of Japanese anime. Any X-rated games, some of the older fighting games that had those kind of ratings are going to be banned. Mostly PC games will be hard, so it'll be interesting to see how people get around that.
because I mean, that would be a lot of probably secondary market sales, right? And eBay
Yeah.
is kind of the king of that. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they
But
kind of pull that off. But I mean, I will say I don't really see a whole lot of games in my world that are adult only or X-rated, I guess. So,
this would definitely probably apply more to collectors, people that are
yeah.
trying to get all the weird. There was a bunch of oddball weird PC games in the 80s, early 90s that were adult themed, you know. So I could see that being difficult to get a hold of. But what's going on in our tag community? We had another big last episode we talked about, we had the new tag council, and
Yeah.
now we've got another new segment of the tag community.
Yeah, we have some new champions. Heartbreak Ridge as our, community admin. He was kind of going through and reached out to some members of our community and asked if they would fill in our champion roles, and they will, kind of herald their platform of choice, but also just kind of moderate and hang out and answer questions about tag in general. But we have Anthem, who will be our new Xbox champion. Audible Silence will be our new PlayStation champion. Name of Namavni, wow, Namnavi will be our Nintendo champion. Bramano will be our PC champion, and Calvin will still be our one of our champions, but he will primarily focus on the gems
Gems.
community.
Well, that's
So,
awesome. I'm excited about all of those are
yeah.
great selections.
Yeah, I think it's a good group of people, and we'll keep things going. They'll keep things happening. If you have any questions about like Xbox, reach out to Anthem or PlayStation Audible and so forth and so on with Namnavi and Bromano for Nintendo and PC. So hang out, chat with them. They got some plans. They want to try to revitalize some of their communities a little bit and get things rolling. So it'll be exciting to see what they do. I'm really excited to have them. And
Just also this rumor going around that we're trying to bring the tag games back.
that is a conversation for another show once we get a little further down there. But yeah, we got some what is it? Irons in the fire, if you will.
Yes.
So, yeah, things are happening. Hey, Hop,
There
we
better
got.
be Street Fighter in the tag games, 'cause I want to whoop some ass.
Hop, did you know we have three listeners in our stage right now? That's
Woo!
pretty awesome. I feel like we're going big leagues. I mean, we got like a Hybrid Havoc in there, Power Driven, Willow Star. I mean, it's.
Whoa, Willow is up way too late
I
to be
know.
listening to the tag cast. Willow, it's your past your bedtime.
She's out there like in the ocean, like just listening to us. Oh, dang. Hybrid's taken off now. Sorry, I ruined that. But Hop, what's been going on Thursdays?
Thursdays is game night. Coming up this Thursday, May 20th, Titanfall 2. If you're on Xbox and you don't own Titanfall 2, shame on you. It's on Game Pass.
And it was like $3 the
It was
other
like three.
day.
It goes on sale for $3 like every 3 weeks or so. But if you have Game Pass, you can install it through the EA Play portal. Grab it, join it, have some fun. May 27th, Halo MCC. I've been having way more fun with MCC than Halo. I'm kind of burnt out on Halo 5. I know Anthem's gonna cut me, but I've been playing Halo 5 for like 5 years, and even though we've been playing MCC for like 7 years, there's so many games in it and so many maps that it doesn't feel as old or as worn out.
Ah, but I need that boost. I need that run. I just.
No, the gameplay feel. If we could integrate it, if they could just integrate Halo 5 into the MCC and just like so we can just jump from game to game to game, that would be awesome.
We just need a new Halo.
That's
It's just
exactly what we need.
infinite be
Yeah.
good. Infinite
God,
be good.
crossing the fingers. Friday Night Fight Club. Man, last week was awesome. Warlock, Sith, and I went nuts playing MK11. We had a lot of laughs. There was some hilarious fatalities and some fumbles and some crazy comeback wins. We've been playing that a lot. We're also really playing Injustice 2, which is on Game Pass, so you can install that. And then classic fighters we really enjoy is Virtua Fighter 5 FS, which is a 360 backwards compatible game, and then also the Street Fighter Collection does get some love, and Killer Instinct as well. Finn, what's our book? Are we still reading that one I haven't read yet?
Yes, we were reading that Red Rising by Pierce Brown. I got it
Yep,
right this time.
still sitting on my shelf.
Yep, still sitting there. So go check it out. Unlike Optimus, who will own it for a long period of time and not read it, but read it, talk about it. There's already some conversation happening in our book club channel. You just have to add yourself to the book club roll by going to our rules room and typing in the magic words to get it to go. And you will be a wonderful member of the book club. And you can read and talk and read and talk some more, because that's, I guess, what you do in book clubs. But what a club that or a club that I've been part of for, I would say, around 18 years now, maybe 19 years, is the Xbox Club. You know, 20 years ago, this past week, or a week ago, or whatever it was, the original Xbox was announced. And what an announcement that was. Did you happen to see that, or did you just watch a video of that later on? Hop.
I'm trying to remember. So, I was, still am, a huge Sega fanboy. So, I was still in mourning over the Dreamcast, over Sega just imploding on itself. That's a whole other sad, torrid tale that I could tell over the span of many episodes if we wanted to get into that history. But, so I was still mourning the Dreamcast. I loved that machine. There were lots of great games. The PS2 was out, but it was pricey at launch, or I don't remember. I was kind of waiting and seeing with the PS2, and same with the Xbox. So I remember Microsoft announcing the Xbox in the moratorium between the Dreamcast being cast aside, haha. And the Xbox, I had kind of gotten into PC gaming big time because a couple of the guys I worked with at the game shop were like hardcore into PC gaming. So I was doing a lot of PC gaming. And I think when they announced the Xbox, I was kind of like, whatever. Like, I wasn't even paying attention because I was in the world of Quake 2, OpenGL, Dual Voodoo 2, SLI, like super geeky 1997, 98, 99 PC game era stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I remember them announcing it, but it wasn't quite on my radar yet.
So I remember like catching the whole press conference. I don't think this was the press conference, but like when The Rock and Bill Gates were on the stage, like I remember watching that a little later on. But yeah, I remember hearing about the Xbox and thinking, you know, I haven't had a console since the Nintendo Entertainment System. I want this one. I don't know why, but I want this one. And I was
Wait, you went from the Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
You never had a Sega or Super Nintendo or a PlayStation or an N64 or a Sega
Nah,
Saturn or a Dreamcast. You went right from the NES to the Xbox.
yep, that's what I did. I had a PC in between then. That's all I had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had several PCs between then. So I had friends that had Super Nintendos and Segas and Dreamcasts and PlayStations and all that. So I got to play them, but I never owned them. So yeah, I made a huge jump in the console world, but I had PCs. Like, I mean, I was like neck deep in Counter-Strike for years and
Yeah,
years.
that
So
was me too.
Day of Defeat and all that stuff. So
Yes.
I made that huge jump in the console gaming, but I was like, man, this is the one. I gotta get it. So I was excited, and it was wild. But that was 20 years ago. I mean, we've been, if you think about, I guess, the longevity, Nintendo has been around for ages, obviously. And I didn't realize this. It's one of those dumb moments, I guess, you have, but the Xbox is the first US made gaming console since the Atari. Like,
Right.
I didn't
Yeah.
realize that. I didn't even understand that until I was like doing some research about it before the show today, just get some more history on it. So that was pretty cool to find out that, Microsoft is trying to bring back the US console market, I guess. And that's pretty cool to see. But anyways, 20 years, long time. The point I'm trying to make is, I'm just curious, what hop is some of your most favorite things that have come out of the Xbox world?
Oh, so many. Well, like I said, it wasn't on my radar at that when they first talked about it. I was like, whatever, I was playing my PC. And then there was E3, and it still wasn't really on my radar. Some of the games looked pretty interesting. Halo was looking better. I was like, okay, that looks kind of good. That looks like a sort of a Half-Life, but on console. Half-Life was the PC game at the
Oh,
time.
yeah.
Me being a Sega fanboy, I saw that Sega was going to start making games for it, and I was like, oh, okay. My good friend got one that fall. Actually, his girlfriend bought it for him that Christmas, and he's like, dude, you gotta come over and play. And I was like, okay. And I go over to his house, and we fire up Halo with the giant Duke controllers, and I was hooked. I had to have one. I was like, what? I gotta have this thing. I was like, this is awesome. This is like a PC game, but it's on my TV. And like, I was kind of getting burned out on PC gaming a little bit. I was kind of getting tired of chasing graphic card upgrades and the whole processor upgrades. Like, we were in the middle of the war to the giga. We were actually at the gigahertz level on the PC, and it was just getting out of control. And I think I got my Xbox a couple months later, January, February, March, somewhere around there. And at that time, my PC had a GeForce 2 and an Athlon 1.2 gigahertz, and a gazillion gigs of RAM. And but I got Halo, and then Sega started dropping titles, and one of their titles was Panzer Dragoon Order, and I love that series, and that game was phenomenal looking on the
Oh yeah.
Xbox. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is the Dreamcast we should have gotten. It had a lot of the same features. It had online play. The Dreamcast had online play. It had four controller ports built right on the machine, not two. It had a hard drive, which was nice. You didn't need memory cards.
Was the
It
first to do
had,
that, yeah.
yeah, and it had, I mean, the Xbox was equivalent to like a GeForce 2MX, which was sort of the lower end GeForce 2. But because it was only rendering at highest render was most games were only rendering at 480p, 480i if you had a standard definition TV, they look great. So they all looked amazing. And there were some games that took advantage of the 1080i, 720p, not many. I think The Matrix did a full 1080i mode, which was impressive at the time. But I still had my PC because of online gaming. So when the Xbox first dropped, they didn't have Xbox Live wasn't a thing yet. Right, but there was lots of good single player games. And then Halo over a LAN, we would routinely, everybody would bring their Xbox, and we had a
Yeah.
couple crappy TVs. We'd all get together over at
Oh yeah.
friends' houses, and there'd be four TVs, four Xboxes, 16 controllers, two cases of beer and pizza, and lots of fights.
Yes. I will never forget just like the sheer amount of like Ethernet cable and extension cords hanging around like friends' houses and apartments just to get those LAN parties going. I mean that was some of the best times in my I guess gaming life, just like having the 16 people or whatever it was, people hauling TVs from their house to their friend's house. Like, I mean, it was just wild.
And
Like,
this is for you youngins listening to the show. These weren't flat panels like you
oh
have now.
no,
These were huge, heavy,
CRTs.
30 to 50 pound CRTs, big old square glass things. And if you dropped them, they broke. They were awkward to transport. They were
Yep.
hard to fit in a car.
Oh yeah. Like I know Power Driven is listening. He's probably shaking his head. He knows exactly what
Yeah,
we're
he
talking
actually
about.
just sent me a message to remind everybody. He said, "Don't forget the guy that helped design the Dreamcast came over to Microsoft and helped them work on the Xbox. That's why they had a lot of similarities. That would explain the four
Yeah.
controller ports."
Well, that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, it's
I mean,
just.
Microsoft worked with Sega on the Dreamcast for the operating system. The Dreamcast used a Windows CE OS, and basically the Xbox used a Windows XP build, like a pre-beta Windows XP build for the operating system. So,
So
yeah.
I may get in a lot of trouble for this one with not really in trouble, but like Tony may call me a hypocrite, but back then, like I remember when I moved into my dorm in college, I brought my Xbox with me, and my RA at the time was like, "Hey, I can mod that for you." I was like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I can mod it. Just give me like $50 and I'll mod it. Put a chip in it and you can pretty much download the games
And
to it."
load all these games and emulators on it.
And I did it, and I mean, I still have my original Xbox that's modded, and I could probably hook it up and play all the Nintendo and Sega and all those games with the emulation. But, I just remember thinking, like, man, that's wild. And you could take a disc and put it in there and copy the game off the disc. And, I was probably one of the few people keeping Blockbuster alive because I just run into Blockbuster, buy a bunch of, or rent a bunch of games, come home and copy them into my modded Xbox. And now I realize the error of my ways and how bad that may be. But yeah, I modded it and I had a lot of fun with the original Xbox. It was a great little thing. I mean, it was beastly and it had its issues, but I love that thing. It
It was
spun.
big.
Yeah.
The first, I remember the first year models, some of them had DVD ROMs that were could
They had
go
those.
bad and not read the discs. They
Yeah,
would
they
just
had the
stop.
Thompson drives.
Yeah, they would stop reading the discs, and a lot of times Microsoft would replace them for free. I had a buddy that worked for one of the big retail game stores, and I think my machine was about 6 months old, and he worked out somewhere I could trade it in, and he gave me almost as much credit to get one of the newer machines with the newer updated DVD drive. But I had to move all my saves to the there was a memory card you could plug in the controller, so I had to move all my saves, but I had to reinstall all of whatever I had installed to the hard drive, which was like DLC by that point. The first controller, though, that Duke controller was hideous. It was.
Oh,
I know some people like that. I hated it. I
it was
as soon as I
so
could,
massive.
as soon as I could, I ordered the Japanese Xbox controller, which is what they started selling
The S.
when they updated the console. Yeah.
It was always interesting because they had the white and black buttons at the top that became the bumpers eventually and the 360. But I always thought that was, those buttons were really dumb in the end. But let's kind of fast forward a little bit. Let's get into the 360 era. That was like the height. That was like the height, right?
Whoa. You just skipped a whole era.
How did I skip an era? We went
You skipped
Xbox.
Xbox Live.
Oh well, I mean, sorry,
No,
I was.
that's an era. That's huge,
The
dude.
launch of
That
Xbox Live.
changed the
Okay, yes.
whole scape of gaming because there was the Xbox and it was fine, but when you added Xbox Live, now it was better than anything. That's what got me off of PC gaming. As soon as Xbox Live came out, I walked away from PC gaming. I was like, oh, I don't need this anymore. They launched with, Mech Assault.
True.
They got good PvP like Rainbow Six. They got fighting games over Xbox Live, Capcom versus SNK2. I mean, Xbox Live changed the game.
That's very true. I mean, yeah, okay, I will give you that. They kind of.
And that, without that, we wouldn't have had the 360. The 360 was built on.
So, I
They.
guess my issue with Xbox Live is I didn't really experience it until the 360 because I was still doing the LAN thing. Like, we were still always going over to people's houses. Like, that we couldn't give up for some
Oh
reason.
man.
So.
Live on the original Xbox was something special because not everybody had it yet.
True.
Power driven sending me tons of messages. And it was not full of jerks. Like everybody that had
True.
Xbox Live were true gamers that just wanted, like, you didn't need party chat. You could play with random people and have a good time. I remember the night Halo 2 launched. As soon as I got home, I ran home, I fired up the game. I didn't even play the campaign. I jumped right into online. I stayed up all night. I was in the top 10 Halo 2 players for about 2 days after that because I had such, because I played that all night. And everybody that I met was really cool with that. And nobody was jerks online. That didn't happen until the 360.
I also played the Halo 2 campaign in complete French because I had a bootleg version of it on my modded Xbox.
Ah,
Like a
nightmare.
week before. Yeah, I was at a dark phase in my life. I did a lot of bad things. I shouldn't have done them. But okay, yes, I will give you credit.
So that is what gave them the foundation to build the 360 upon. I mean,
True.
I feel like the 360 was built upon not only what they learned with the original Xbox design, but also Xbox Live, and they integrated that into the console. So
Yeah.
360 was like the Xbox version 2
Because,
plus,
like, they
you
had
know.
this, like, Xbox Connect or, like, what was it? Like, there was some, like, third-party almost software you could use to play online initially that, like, Microsoft, like, bought out or something. Like, I feel like there was something to that story. Like, because we tried using something and it just was, like.
Well, there was the GameSpy one that you could use to play Halo, the
Okay.
original Halo. You needed a PC.
All
But
right.
yeah, Xbox Live itself was its own thing. And then moving on to the 360, the interesting thing was they went from the original Xbox was basically designed around PC hardware at the time. It was x86 based. I think it used an AMD or Intel 733 megahertz chip. And it had, like I said, it was basically the GeForce 2 MX, which was not as powerful as a full-fledged GeForce 2, but because they weren't pushing as many pixels, because the fill rate was only going to be at most 480p or a 1080i, maybe with lower res textures, they could get away with that. And it had 64 megabytes of RAM, which was double what anything else console-wise had. I think the PS2 had 32 megabytes of RAM. They ran everything you threw at it really well. Like some of the top tier original Xbox games like Ninja Gaiden, Panzer Dragoon Orta, Halo 2. There was nothing on the PS2 that looked as good as those games.
Yeah.
But when we went to the 360, they switched to a Power PC chip, which is more what you'd find in a Mac, which was really odd. But I guess what the deal was is they could get those chips custom made at a better price. Intel was kind of in a bind at the time. They were in the middle of, we can't break, I think 1.5 gigahertz. Intel was stuck on PC chips at the time or something.
Yeah, the 360, I will say, is still probably one of my favorite eras of gaming.
Yeah, me too.
The Blades, first of all, gotta go there. Like, that was
It was
probably
really easy to navigate. Super
so
easy to
great,
navigate.
so easy. I mean, granted, you weren't doing as much as you are now on the newer generation of consoles, but yeah, it was just great. I still can in my brain hear the like
Yeah, the swiping of
yeah,
them.
the like, and I could probably sit there for like 10 minutes just like going back and forth. I don't know, it's like ASMR for me back then. But yeah, the 360 was great. They did a lot of things right. I'm gonna just kind of skip ahead to like the middle of that generation, and one of the things that I think is one of the most interesting stories, and if you have a chance, Podcast Unlocked, episode 200, I believe. Ryan McCaffrey interviews like the three big heads of Xbox, like the most famous ones. Seamus Blackley, who is credited with like inventing the Xbox, if you will. Peter Moore, and then Phil Spencer. But Peter Moore was the head of Xbox when the Red Ring of Death happened. And, he had to be the guy that sat in front of Steve Ballmer and was like, either we fix it and spend billions of dollars of fixing it, or we just shut down Xbox right now. And I have to say, like, that's probably one of the coolest yet scary stories. Like, you talk about shit your pants with Resident Evil 7.
Right.
I don't think I could sit in front of Steve Ballmer, head of Microsoft, and tell him to spend $1 billion to save a brand, right? So I think that was kind of just
Well,
wild.
they kind of had to, because they came out the gate so strong. I mean, the 360 launched ahead of the PS3. It was cheaper than the PS3. The launch games were like amazing looking, like Oblivion. Wasn't a launch game, but it came out a couple months later. There was nothing that looked that good on a console. Nothing came close to
But
how
ran at
good
like
that game
five
looked.
frames a second.
It didn't run that bad.
I
No,
know, at times.
it was running between 20 and 30, but they were so far ahead they had to do. I think, for brand loyalty, my first 360 Red Ring to Death, and they replaced it for free, and then I got an Elite later. And that one red ringed, and they replaced that one for free too.
See, I
So
got lucky until Mass Effect 2 came out, and right after that first mission, well, first opening thing, I'm not gonna say anything just in fear of spoiling another game for Ubo. But
your
the
console red ringed on you.
yeah, red ringed on me, and then I was like searching the internet like about it, and apparently Mass Effect 2 like was like a red ring factory.
Any of those Unreal, I think mine was Gears 1 or Gears 2 that caused my first Red Ring of Death. Any of the Unreal games, because they were pushing that AMD graphics chip to its knees. I mean, that thing, one of the reasons why the 360 was so far ahead of the PS3 is it was really easy to program for. The PlayStation 3 was a really complicated architecture, whereas the 360 was pretty similar to a PC, but with some very specific limitations to graphical fill rates, RAM, video RAM, and stuff like that, where they had to get a little, you had to pay a little bit more attention to detail. There's a great interview with Cliffy B where he talked about that with Gears of War and how they were able to push that 360 to do things nobody could, and that's because they figured out, okay, if we use this much video RAM, we can have this much RAM, we can push this many pixels per scene, per area. And it had graphical tricks that the PS3, not that the PS3 didn't have, but the PS3 developers had a hard time making those work because the PS3 was a very complex machine.
And you got to think about the fact that like, the 360 went through several iterations, right? It went through like the original version, like, and then it had their like Elite, then they had their smaller like form factor version, I guess, like their S
Yeah, and
version.
then there was a fourth version too that was even the very last 360s that they dropped right around the time the Xbox One launched. They were really small.
So I mean, like they kept like iterating on that platform for the most part. I mean, by at the end of the 360 generation, I had a Gears of War version, and I loved that console. It
The
was,
one that made the sounds.
oh yeah, it made
Yeah.
the chiming sound from Gears like. And it also it had that red paint on it. It was gorgeous. Like I felt really bad. Like I felt still feel sad thinking about when I traded in at GameStop to get some extra monies to buy the next, series of games that I was gonna buy. But I mean, The 360 was such a great generation. I mean, Mass Effect trilogy was on there, like Halo 3, Halo 2, not Halo 2, sorry, Halo 3, Halo Reach, ODST, all those games just like
Gears.
Gears 1, 2, and 3. Like, it's just.
I really feel like they still haven't captured that amount of exclusivity, like FOMO, that they had the 360 between Gears and Halo, and they had the exclusive Call of Duty content at that time.
Yes.
They kind of dropped the ball, I feel like, and I feel like this is all like the transition when Matrick comes in. They let Sony buy out the Activision contract. They finish up Gears of War and they kind of let Cliffy B walk away. You know, they kind of, Bungie's burned out on doing Halo, and we go into the Xbox One generation like literally with nothing. There was no first party game. I mean, Microsoft, they started the 360 generation, they had bought Rare. Rare tried to resurrect Perfect Dark with Perfect Dark Zero. It was kind of a flop. I mean, Rare is not, even the Rare that Microsoft had during the 360 era is not even the Rare that made all the great games during the Nintendo era. I mean, it's a name only. Yeah. Most of the developers are all long gone. So it's just crazy that they let go of all these big titles and franchises and developers. They go into their next gen, and instead of pushing games, Don Matrick wants to push TV services.
Which, you know what? Like, there was a lot of things that they talked about that made me excited. I mean, being able to have a DVR inside my Xbox was a pretty cool idea. Like, I
wasn't excited about any of that. I was like, what are you doing?
I mean, I will say games first, yes. But, like, I was also sitting there going, I could get behind having a DVR as my Xbox also acting as a DVR and recording over the air content. Like, that makes my life easier, right? But, yes, I do agree with you, man. They dropped, we've talked about it several times, and everybody knows 2013, almost the death march of the Xbox brand.
Oh, like, yeah, they pretty much let Sony walk all over them at that E3. Yeah. Like, it was sad. It was really sad. They basically gave that generation to the PS4. They literally gave it to them on a platter. Here you go.
But it
you
did.
You can have it.
The Xbox One generation did birth some things that were great, like Titanfall.
I mean, after Titan, it would have been nice had they just straight up bought Respawn out instead.
Oh, that'd have been great.
That would have been a smart move. Now I think they learned from their mistakes, right? Because they get rid of Don Matrick, and now they've decided. Now they know that we got to have exclusives. So, like, you know, they bought Bethesda. They've bought a ton of developers. They bought during the Xbox One era, they bought the Gears of War IP from Epic and they outright, and they formed a team made up of former Epic Studios Gears of War developers, including Rod Ferguson, who was the producer of Gears 2 and 3, to start the coalition. So yeah, they've turned it around, but that the beginning of the Xbox One was a big misstep doozy, like big time. Like they almost lost the whole war.
Well, period. You know, there's something to be said about your third iteration, right? You know, PlayStation had a big misstep with their third
PS3,
console.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, not every time you're going to hit it, right?
And right. No, 100%. And Nintendo's third generation console, the GameCube, was kind of a flop.
Yeah.
It was a decent machine, but they lost the third parties, right? The third parties were more interested in PS2 and Xbox because that's where the gamers were going.
Well, I mean, you can't always hit it hard, you know, and Xbox clearly was trying to rely on their strength and position with the 360, right? They were really trying to keep people, like, just go, oh, they have a 360, so they're going to just come over to the Xbox One. I mean, they didn't really factor in that at the time, with the 360 didn't really lock you into the console era, right? But now, fast forward, a lot of people really aren't switching consoles between into the next generation or this current generation that we're in now with the Series and the PlayStation 5. So people are kind of sticking with what they had before. We got Ubo in the, you know, in our audience right now, and you know, he got a PlayStation 5. I mean, Ubo, you can tell us in the chat, or if you just raise your hand, I'll bring you on the stage. But like, would you jump over to Xbox anytime soon, right? If you will, you know. So it's just, I think they were trying to rely on their brand loyalty, and I don't think it was there at the time, or at least ecosystem locked in-ness. That's not a word, but you know what I mean.
They didn't have anything. I'm gonna say it. They didn't have anything.
And they wanted to charge you more money, right? Mm-hmm. And we both talked about it.
I didn't get one at launch.
No, I didn't either. I waited till after the Kinect got dropped.
Yeah, when Titanfall dropped, that perked me up. And when they fired Don Matrick, I was like, okay, they're going to turn this around. But
well, and I was like, I'm not buying a Kinect, so I'll play my 360.
That too.
So
I was pretty close to buying a PS4 because pretty much everybody on Tag at the time, almost everybody on Tag, after that E3 bought a PS4. That's when we had the great Tag split. Everybody on Tag was 360. Everybody. There was a few people on a PS3, but it was like, I would say 75-80% of Tag was on a 360. And then after that E3, I would say 60% of Tag went over to the PS4. And a lot of us sat with our 360s and waited, and some people bought Xbox Ones right away, but not many. That was a huge misstep. I am glad to say that the Series X is different, even though this is not like a new, this isn't a new machine the same way like you got to buy a whole new thing. It's evolutionary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your Series X plays all your One games. It plays all your 360 backwards compatible games. You can use all your peripherals. My Astro Mix amp that I got last gen,
minus the Kinect.
Minus the Kinect, but nobody used that thing anyway. my mix amp works, my hard drives all work, all my games work, and they all just look better, run better, load faster. It's definitely a huge quality of life thing. The games that do take advantage of the new Series X hardware are pretty impressive. I think it's still going to be a while due to development issues with the pandemic still going on before we see some seriously like amazing looking stuff. We got somebody with a hand up.
Yeah, I know. Let's power driven. Let's get you in here. Let's see what kind of Xbox memory do you want to share with us?
Yeah. Gentlemen.
Hey.
What's up?
Nice to catch up again.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Give us your Xbox memory or your thoughts on where the world of Xbox is.
See, I was actually one of those guys that I actually got the one on launch.
You Yankee, there was like five of you.
And I got the, you know, and I'm one of the few that also loves the Kinect. I could walk into my kitchen and say, turn on the Xbox, and it would kick on, turn the TV on, do all the other cool stuff. I lived and swore by that. As soon as they started peeling features off, I was like, it was cutting to my soul.
It's all been replaced with your Amazon Alexa devices now. You can use that, right?
I haven't delved into that because I've just been so frustrated.
I understand.
I'm heartbroken.
The Kinect was a very interesting thing. I mean, PlayStation tried the Move. Like, everybody tried to jump on the Wii train, right? You know, the movement piece. And unfortunately, that died just as fast as it came through, right? So, I mean,
so here's an interesting question for you guys.
Yeah.
So, with Sony and the PS4 starting to dive into VR, and now they're announcing on the PS5 VR, do you think Microsoft is going to dip their toe in there with the Holo?
There's rumors that we're going to get some sort of VR for the Series X. It would be interesting to see if we get something.
It would be a partnership more than likely.
I am not
it?
Playing Resident Evil in VR.
Oh, I'm telling you. I've got the Oculus Quest 2, and I will tell you what, if I could get a group of taggers hooked up and get a group on VR, that would be amazing.
I know our pal, Are You Dead? She's a big VR component. I can't remember the episode, but you'll just have to go back and listen to one of the first episodes with Are You Dead? And you'll learn why. I don't know where I'm going with that. Hop.
I don't know either. Some people really like VR. Nothing against VR. I can tell you I'm never playing
Yeah.
Resident Evil VR. No, I'm good.
Well, Power, you got any other quick thoughts about the Xbox you want to share?
Well, I actually was also one of the few people that I was a complete toolbox and did not pre-order the Series X for what reason, I have no idea.
Was really
But I
hard
also
to
managed to
pre-order.
score one.
It was really hard, and I think a lot of people thought, oh, they'll be available at launch. They'll be available at launch, but
No.
with the state of the world the way it is, it's totally flipped that around.
That's very true. Have you, so did you get one yet, or are you still in the market
Yep,
for it?
I've actually had one since November.
Oh, nice. Good. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
I
beautiful
picked up
machine.
the Series X. I had a buddy that got the Series S because he was like, well, I don't, play any, most of my stuff's digital anyway. And he couldn't find one, so.
I just.
I think it's great. The only complaint I have with consoles as of late is the damn storage.
Yeah.
And here's a teeny tiny drive for like what, 8 games?
Yeah. Supposedly, I mean, at least with the Series X, you can hook up a regular USB drive and you can move games. Not all the games require the internal drive, and you can move games to an external temporarily. But
Maybe it's on
also,
your.
the exclusive for the Seagate drive thing is going to expire pretty soon, and then we'll have other external cards, and that should lower the price. That's what I'm hoping anyway, because that
Yeah.
thing's overpriced right now.
Hop, you're getting called out in chat by Ubo about, maybe
I
having
see that.
to man up a little bit. So, yeah, it's definitely a very unique thing. I mean, we're in this stage where it's early on, things are going to change with these new consoles. We have a lot of things to look forward to as time goes on. And, I'm just really excited that Xbox has made it this far. Like I mentioned earlier, there was a period in time where Xbox could have died. We talked about
For sure.
two times,
Twice.
the
Two
Red Ring of
times.
Death and
And then
2013,
the
right?
Xbox One launch, yeah.
Yeah, so it could have been one of
I
those.
really feel like this past year they really turned it around. They really their consumer friendliness with Game Pass, their like openness with their systems, they're trying to crack down on scalpers, they're offering that new program. You can only order this if you have an Xbox One, which sucks for those that don't have an Xbox One, but for those people who are trying to upgrade from a One to a Series X, they now have that program.
I think that program ended already because it had too many names on the list.
Yeah, because everybody wants one.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're in a really good place
Oh,
right
yeah.
now, to keep the brand going for sure.
And I really hope E3 and that time, like, they just kind of hit it home, right? They just make you, for those of us that have the Series X or the Series S, feel like are super excited about what's coming, and then those that are looking forward to, I hope that lights that fire more, even more.
Dude, I just want Halo to be good. Just
Oh
bring me
yeah.
good Halo. Bring me
Yes.
good Halo. It's
Please,
been too
please,
long.
please. So, well, I think that kind of wraps up our show for this episode. It's been, a lot of fun again doing another live show. Catch us on Tuesdays. The first and third Tuesdays of a month. Right now we're recording about 10 p.m. Eastern. I am Fenrir765. You can catch me on Xbox there or in the adultgamer.com Discord. You could reach out. I'll play pretty much anything. If you just ask, and if I have it, I'll jump in there and try it out with you. I'm down to do that. But Hoptimus, where can people catch you?
Come to our Discord, adultgamer.com. Look for me, Hoptimus, and find my gamer tag and hit me up if you want to do Borderlands, Black Ops, you know, any number of fun co-op games or shooters, RPGs, Diablo.
Some fisticuffs.
Yeah. Fighting games for sure. Yeah. And Power Driven, where you been lately? Where can people find you?
I am also on Discord, Xbox, soon to be YouTube for the Tesla channel. I'm getting branding up. Should be coming soon.
Awesome.
I've got a logo coming I'm really excited about. I can't wait to unveil it. And also, you mentioned the gems thing for Kelvin. I am actually also managing the Xbox gems and the PC gems. So I can take care of that.
Awesome.
Get everybody rolling on there. Find me on Diablo and any other RPG out there and shooters and everything. Just hit me up.
Awesome. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. And drinks are on Ubo because his wife just sold the 360 today. So hit him up.
No.
Let him know. And we'll catch you on the flippity flip.